Welcome to Parents' Perspective. Come on, Jim, his mother called up the stairs. You're going to be late. The bus doesn't wait, you know. No answer. All right, this is it. Jim's mom fumed to herself, mounting the stairs to her son's room and marching angrily down the hall. You are 16 years old, she began, pushing open his door. You should be able to get yourself up and out the door on a school day. Then she stopped. Her son's room was dark, and he was sitting up on his bed, head in hands. What's wrong? She knelt down next to him. Are you feeling sick?
Oh, I don't know. His eyes were half open. It's just so hard to get up. I just feel like I have a truck on my head. I don't know.
Oh, my, his mom began. Well, you don't seem to be getting much sleep these days, so let's take your temperature and see what's up. You really haven't been eating or sleeping so well, you know. From a parent's perspective, what should we know about keeping kids healthy in school? I'm Sandy Burt. Linda Perlis could not be with us today. She'll return soon. Today's guest is an expert in student health issues. Dr. Julia Lear is research professor in the Department of Prevention and Community Health and director of the Department's Center for Health and Healthcare in Schools at the School of Public Health and Health Services of the George Washington University. She is also a parent with three grown sons and two grandsons. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Dr. Lear.
Sandy, it's such a pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Currently, what's the biggest student health issue in the schools?
In a sense, the answer is it all depends on your child's school. Is that child in elementary school? Maybe that would mean that acute infection is something that you're concerned about, flu season, colds, falling down on the playground. Those are all things that happen to younger children. If, on the other hand, like Jim, you have a 16-year-old teenager, you may be rightly concerned about what is the status of alcohol use and drug use in your community. Is that something that you should be concerned about? The only way a parent really knows what is happening with their child at school or what they can do with other parents is to be at the school, to talk with other parents, and to talk with school faculty, teachers, about what they're observing. It is absolutely true that if you pick up the newspaper or listen to the television stations, you're going to hear about childhood obesity, the importance of physical activity. Those are real issues and ones we should be concerned about. But whether it's the biggest issue in your community or the greatest threat to your child is something that parents really have to get together and figure out for themselves.
You know, it's funny. I was thinking when you were saying that parents should go to the schools, they should see what's going on. What's the quote, 90% of life is showing up?
Absolutely.
All right. What should parents be especially focused on? Is there something as a school year begins that parents should go, better be sure we have this on the radar screen?
There are two ways of thinking about school health. You can look at the health status of children and see what the unmet needs are. You also, though, can look at the systems. What is in place to help a child who is not healthy, to help children stay healthy, and to make sure that school is a safe place to be? It seems to me that at the beginning of the school year is when you might want to do a systems check. You might want to know, what are the rules and regs around excursions from the school? Who has the van contract? Are these vehicles that have been checked out for safety? Is there a school nurse? Who's the person that you could call? We know that something like 11% of children, all children ages 5 to 18, take a medication for 3 months or more in a row. That is a very big number because it doesn't include my child who may have an episode that requires 10 days of penicillin. So we know that a lot of children will be taking medication. As a parent, the health services system that I would want to check is who is delivering that medication. Nurses have an expression, the right drug at the right time with the right child. And if someone in the front office on a rotating basis is responsible for medication management, That is really both a health and a safety issue, and it's one that parents ought to explore.
What happens if, to your horror and shock, you do find that?
This is, of course, the wrong time to have to be raising this issue because the solution may involve money. And school systems are going to be really concerned about this. But even if it's money that can't be spent this year, it could be spent next year. And documenting the need is something that can always be done. And if a school board and a superintendent understands that this is a priority, maybe they can give this additional thought. Too often, we know that decisions get made absent an expression of parent interest based on assumptions. If you haven't complained, we will assume that you don't think that the school nurse is as important as something else. I think that all school systems need a plan for health services, for emergencies, and for ongoing maintenance of a healthy environment, a resource both for teachers and for students. If you do not have that, I think that's something you'll want to work on.
Especially in this era of pandemic scares and all kinds of things, things in the water, things in the air,
absolutely.
Whatever.
There's been a lot of interest recently, and we may talk about this some more, on what schools can do about obesity and childhood overweight. But it troubles me that when we talk about, quote, what schools should do, we don't focus on, well, who is going to do it? The English teacher is busy teaching English. The first grade teacher is busy surviving maybe 35 young children. These are not people who have the time, much less the expertise, to think about how one can make changes, perhaps, adjustments in school lunches, physical activity, recess, as well as flag specific children in ways that are not harmful or embarrassing, but calling perhaps to parents' attention a need to think about this child being on a trajectory that might lead them to a position of unhealth. School nurses will stay forever once they're in the school. It's great. You have longevity. They know the siblings of children that they saw last year. They get the younger children. That puts them in a unique position to be able to advise parents on what's happening. They may also be able to observe that the children in Mrs. Smith's family tend to run increasingly from grades 1 through 6, as you see them, overweight. This is a credible person who can gently and with intentionality intervene. So the role of school nurse is so unique if we expect that our schools are going to play the force that they can for keeping children healthy enough to learn, because health is both a matter of well-being in this world, but it also is a matter of well-being in the classroom. A child that's hurting, a child that's unhappy, a child that is not well is not going to be an effective student. So we argue that it is not a choice between spending money over here on health versus another teacher in the classroom, which is frequently how the dilemma gets described. It's really that you need both. And parents, though, are the people who can make sure that that discussion occurs.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on keeping students healthy in school.
The popular new book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents, by Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We are talking with Dr. Julia Lear about keeping students healthy in school. What health-connected red flags should parents be alert for as the school year goes on? I mean, I know we all sort of, as the weather gets colder, we think about colds and flu. When things are icy in the winter, we think about falls. Sports season, we think about injuries.
I think parents can begin to move into thinking about prevention at school. And when it comes to communicable disease, what we know is that hand washing trumps everything. So it is very important for parents to make sure, first of all, that there are functioning sinks. It's wonderful and I think really critical to have functioning sinks inside the classroom for the younger children. And then it's very important that children are taken to the restrooms and instructed in how to wash their hands. Many schools also where there are younger and middle elementary school students engage the kids in washing down the rooms so that desks are cleaned. And then doing it at home, of course, is a good thing as well.
I was just going to say, boy, what a neat thing. If my children had learned that, then they could have cleaned their rooms better.
What a wonderful thing if a PTA, thinking forward, how do we keep our kids healthy this year in school at their desk learning? I think you might think about inviting to a PTA meeting the custodial staff because they are the people who can be team members in your desire to keep your school lowest germ level possible. And it's wonderful if parents can come in and volunteer. There are physical things that can be done to help keep the school healthy. The other thing that can be done and parents can take a lead in is clarifying the rules and the guidance, and here again is where the school nurse can be helpful, on when to keep a child home.
Oh, that's such a bugaboo, especially with parents working and they're thinking, I can't take up another day. This kid seems like he's okay. He was okay this morning. He wasn't so great last night.
You know, school nurses tell very funny stories about parents who have to come back from work and say, he was so fine this morning. I'm so surprised. And you know this was probably not the case. Mm-hmm. Children get sick as we get sick. And the planning part is not only about how to keep the classroom clean, the hallways clean, it's also about how do we accommodate these sick day emergencies. And as a mom who worked through all her three children, you do that in part by agreeing with your husband on who will be available to share that responsibility. And then there may be other parents who are in the same boat as you and will be willing to form a co-op. We, in my neighborhood, when the children were little, we had food co-ops. Why not have a parent support co-op that enables people to share that burden? Not always easy, but what doesn't work for anyone is not planning.
What health services do you think we should expect our children's schools to provide?
That's a tough problem because some of us have children in schools that have 75 kids. Some of us have children in schools with 600, 900, or 1,000. If you have the larger numbers, I think it's reasonable to expect that you will have a full-time nurse. If you are a smaller school, that is not financially practical, and logistically probably not necessary. So then you want to look at what about sharing? And if there is a shared system, I was visiting schools down in Wayne County, North Carolina, a couple years back, and they have, as actually Portland, Oregon, has a system whereby if the flu hits in Adams Middle School, school nurses are pulled in to help the load that school nurse is going to have. So you may have a standard rotation of a nurse being part-time in a couple of schools. But if you have that, you should expect that there is a health aide who is providing coverage.
Now, what's a health aide? Let's talk about that.
Yes. Well, health aides are many different things. And one of the functions parents will play is when the school nurse explains that when she is not there, the health aide is there. Their job is to say, tell me about the health aide. and we mean people who have been trained in medication management, who have training and an understanding of what are called in healthcare the policies and procedures that are to be followed in a medical emergency, either from the child's family or for the child himself or herself, so that you are talking not about the nearest warm body when the school nurse isn't there, but a person who has been designated and prepared for this function.
Okay, so this involves somebody who's actually gone through some kind of a training program.
Exactly. The health aide needs to be a person who can step in without being flustered, not necessarily to perform, but to know who to call and be able to execute those responsibilities.
Okay. Good diagnostician.
Yes.
We talked a little bit about elementary school students and the nice viruses that they bring home and some other interesting things and the idea that it's good to have sinks in the room and so forth. Is there anything else that has to do with elementary school that parents should be sort of aware of?
I think the most important thing that parents should be aware of is that to keep very young children growing healthy, they need good food and exercise. And it's frequently reported that elementary schools, in some instances, are eliminating recess.
Oh, my.
And children need to be free for some part of the day. They need to run around. They need to exercise those muscles. They need to let off steam. And recess can be a great time for learning skills. The downside of recess from a school's perspective is that recess frequently is where the bumps and bruises happen. Recess is when there are arguments and fights. There is an organization I want to mention because I'm just such a fan. It's called Sports for Kids, and it's sports, numeral four, kids. They have a website, sportsforkids.org, and their materials tell you how to make recess a healthy, happy event. They happen to have a program, and they train people to be physical activity coordinators in an elementary school. Because elementary schools don't have teams, they come in and help you figure out how to make it a really vibrant part of an elementary school.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on keeping students healthy in school. For an audio CD of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $15 with your name, mailing address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C. 20015. Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We are talking with Dr. Julia Lear about keeping our students healthy in school. Well, speaking of sports, middle school and high school seem to be the places where we have lovely sports injuries and all kinds of things that derive from that. Are there any things parents should be aware of for those years?
I think the most important thing a parent can do with a child that is very physically active and able to make a team is to understand the pressures that have leaked over from college into high school and in some places junior high school, middle school. Young bodies, which are growing, really can only be trained so much. The issue of overtraining and injuries for middle and high school kids is quite serious. And coaches who even in high school are under pressure to win, can have a different agenda than a parent. And so parents really need to keep an eye on the stresses that a child's body is under. It is wonderful when you have someone who is a budding star. It is a source of pride for every parent to see their child bloom and be acknowledged. And I think that's terrific. I also know that we need to know that we are our child's advocate. And should you have a budding athlete star, you're going to need to go online and make sure. Perhaps talk with your physician about things you should be aware of to make sure that this is a child that's not overtraining or overstressed. And that is not just for football players. It is also for cheerleaders and some of the girls' sports which are happening now.
We do need to touch on a different kind of health, and that's mental health. How can parents access mental health help for their students?
All children deserve an emotionally healthy environment in which to learn. So that means, as a preventive matter, parents should be very alive to the culture of the school. That includes being alert to punitive teachers. They do exist. Aware of whether rewards are as valued in the school as punishments, and listen to your child when they're complaining. We know that we'll hear a lot of complaints around the dinner table, and there is a tendency after a while, particularly with some children, to say, there he goes again. We also have to be alert. That's why PTAs and any gathering of parents makes sense, because it's in those informal conversations that you pick up that something that you thought was specific to your child is a general issue. So the very first thing is making sure that your school leadership and the school system's leadership value and work to promote a healthy school environment emotionally. There are people always in the school who can be a good resource. I know that school counselors, particularly as you move up the school years, get very involved in academic planning. But frequently, they have been trained to attend to the emotional problems of school-age kids. So don't overlook these people. They can be a real resource. If you have a school counselor, and I hope you do, I feel about school counselors the way I do about school nurses, they are the foundation. There are other things that can be developed. There are school-based health centers, which provide both nurse practitioners and mental health professionals, and those exist in about 2,000 schools around the country. But there are also school mental health programs. A number of cities, tend to be larger cities, have programs where there are clinical psychologists, clinical social workers who are available to help both parents and children address issues that are really getting in the way of their lives, not to mention school performance. So I think that a parent, first of all, can be the main check on the emotional quality of the school life. They can, if they have children that they're concerned about, talk with the principal or the assistant principal. Frequently, it's an assistant principal who is responsible for what is called pupil support at school or student support. And you can talk about some concerns you have and who might be on the school staff who could help you. Sometimes schools have a relationship with an outside agency, and they may be able to direct you there. I think children and parents are much more comfortable staying in their school environment, which they know, and having services come in. It feels like a much bigger deal, and that makes it a barrier to care if you have to go outside. So that would be where I start.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, we have to stop instead of start, which is really a shame. But what resources, before we go, would you recommend for parents who'd like to find further information on student health issues?
Well, first of all, let me say our website, www.healthinschools.org, has a section for parents. And one of the things we've done is identify the questions that we think parents need to ask their school leadership around various topics which come up. There's a section on nutrition and school lunch. How do you explore that issue to make sure that you're satisfied that tater tots are not the main item on the agenda? Questions about safety on school trips. So I think that's a good place for very school-focused issues. The other site that I will flag for your listeners is one called kidshealth.org. It is a website on the health and mental health issues that affect school-age children, written primarily for parents. It is written by the physicians who staff the Nemours Hospital in Wilmington, Delaware. So it's one that I look to when I'm checking on a particular issue. The other resource to pay attention to is the American Academy of Pediatrics, because they issue policy statements on issues that parents sometimes get concerned about. American Academy of Pediatrics is kind of
the gold standard.
And you will find a number of issues. They also have policies around student athletes because they are very concerned about overtraining for young people. So that would be my favorites.
And there was one website that you gave earlier, which we want to not forget.
For physical activity, sportsforkids.org, and that is a four, numeral four.
Well, speaking of resources, you have been a wonderful resource. So, Dr. Julia Lear, thank you so much for being with us today and talking about health issues in schools.
Thank you so much for having me.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address and mention show number 396. Please spell anything that's not obvious. That's a big help to us. And tell us, if you can, what station you're tuning into. Visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org, where you can even listen to a show of your choice as a podcast. That's www.parentsperspective.org. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents Perspective. This show was made possible in part by generous support from you, our listeners. Thank you. Our sound engineer is Nate DeLuca. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.